Thank you, Jenna, choir. Thank you very much. It was beautiful, as always. And David, welcome back after your hiatus. You were missed. David comes in, and even in the weeks when he's gone, the last, what, three, 4 weeks you were out?
Five, actually.
Five?
Yeah.
And straighten the chairs every week, and then would go to the Holy Church of the NFL. But he would come here first to straighten up the chairs. So, David, thank you for your dedication. We also had one announcement that we kind of missed. We went over in a hurry. It will be a meeting tomorrow night, and I believe it is at 6:30, and it is for organizing for Pride this summer. Here we go. 6:30 here. I know sometimes we don't look like we're too organized around here, but really we do. And we are in a planning stages now for Pride in June. And so anybody that is willing to step forth and assist us in that, that would be greatly appreciated. So tomorrow night, 6:30. Oh, and today after service. Oh, we did that. Yes. No, you did a lot.
Okay.
Peace and families.
Yes.
12:20 here.
Yeah. Okay. We're good.
We're good. Well, welcome. Thank all of you for coming out. It's good to see everybody here today. The title of my talk today is The Divine Ideal, and we've been following the sort of national trend of the topics that many of the ministers have signed on to do. The overarching theme is a world that works for everyone for January, and today's topic is we see a world in which people live in alignment with their highest spiritual truth. I have three major points today. One, that God has taken form as each and every one of us. Number two, that our souls are on an ever-expanding experience. And thirdly, that when we live in alignment with our spiritual truth, there is a congruence between what we say we believe and how we actually live. Now, that's pretty hard. Sometimes we say we believe things, but boy, walking that talk can be a little bit difficult. So the first one, God has taken form as each and every one of us. In The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes wrote, "Whatever is true of the universe as a whole must also be true of the individual as some part of the whole. Each individual is evolved from the universe as a self-conscious thinking center of living spirit, and as such must, in nature and being, reproduce the universe." We often use the analogy of the ocean, that every drop of the ocean has all of the properties of the ocean, and we are like drops in an ocean of the divine. Reverend Dr. Kathy Hearn gave a talk, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit about that. In Science of Mind, we embrace the understanding that God has taken on unique and individual form in and as each of us. The Infinite One, known by many names, has become that which we are. And rather than thinking of ourselves as two things, human and divine, we realize that we are the thing itself, spirit, right here on earth. While the various aspects of our being play in our awareness and expression, we come to realize that we are not mere human beings having a human experience, or even spiritual beings having a human experience. We are spiritual beings having a spiritual experience right here in the world of form. There's only one thing going on: God, spirit, life. Okay, I want everybody to raise your arms. Okay, now spread them out a little bit. Okay, great. You have just become living teaching symbols, science of mind teaching symbols. So with your arms up, I want you to look up the ceiling. Look beyond the ceiling to the roof. Beyond the roof, not to the clouds. There aren't any clouds today. Beyond that into our solar system. Beyond that into the entire cosmos. And then look beyond the universe and everything that's in it to that thing that was before the universe and will be after the universe that always is. That divine presence. And now bring it back down in. Bring it slowly back down in. Bring it in and embody it into yourself. And that's what we are. We are the expression of that infinite right here and right now. In looking for a good way to express this was doing my homework and reading the practitioner student's manual this week. And this is a quote right out of the Practice student manual. Spirit has chosen to express in physical form as you. There is no one else with your gifts and talents and perspective. There is a magnificence in you just waiting to express. The divine is constantly trying to express as you in this and in every moment. Now, we don't always know what that is. What is that urge? And there are a lot of different ways that we can tell. If you had experiences where time just seems to fly by, wow, what was I doing? I remember our first summer in Alaska. Ann and I went out. David was brand new. He was a brand new little baby. And we went up north and we're going to go fly fishing. And I had a little camper, a little topper on the back of my truck. And Ann and David were in the truck and I went out fly fishing. And it started getting dark. And I thought, well, you know, I'll just fish until it gets too dark to change a fly. And then I'll know it's time to go home. So I kept fishing away, and I wasn't paying attention to time or anything like that. And the next thing I knew, I looked down and thought, oh, boy, it's way lighter now than it was a little bit ago. And it was 4:30 in the morning. I'd fished all night, and I didn't even know it. But it is something that I was engaged in. It wasn't so much the act of fly fishing, but it was that the idea that I was in nature. I was out being what I wanted to be. I was expressing the divine through me in that moment. And without even knowing that the time just totally flew by. And when we are in that kind of a place, when we're doing something where time just vanishes, I think that's a good clue that we are being in that place where the divine goes through us. Now, many of us have taken a thing called a Clifton Strengths Finder, and that enables us to see where our strengths are. It enables us to see where those things are that make it easy for us. There are things that we find really easy that other people might find very, very difficult. And what an advantage this has been for me over the last, I don't know, I think I took it in the fall of the year. But to start working from my strengths, my God-given strengths, rather than trying to pour myself into a mold and do what I think I'm supposed to do, makes a huge difference. And it allows that divine current to flow through us. Point two, our souls are an ever-expanding experience. Last week I quoted one part from what we believe that Ernest Holmes stated. This week I quote from another, and that is, we believe in the eternality, the immortality, and the continuity of the individual soul forever and ever expanding. We are on a journey. We're on a journey of awakening. Awakening, number one, to our own spiritual magnificence. But number two, to awakening to what it is that Spirit is trying to express through and as each and every one of us. Awaken to the concept that our purpose here is to allow God to express through and as us. When we do this, we experience God. We become love, peace, joy, freedom, abundance, beauty, order, wholeness, and wisdom. And that's just what Christina was talking about in the season of peace. When we have that congruence with our awareness of the power and the presence of God within us, we become more peaceful people. We become wiser. We embrace our own wisdom. Brings to mind the story of an old farmer. And he had a grandson who was brilliant by any stretch of the imagination. He had five postgraduate degrees. The kid was brilliant. But the old farmer somehow kind of doubted whether or not he had a whole lot of common sense. So he decided one day that he'd invite the young man out to a camping trip and decided they'd go. And he asked the young guy, and the young guy eagerly said, "Yes, I'd love to go with Grandpa and go fishing." So they loaded up their rickety old pickup and all their camping gear and drove up into the mountains and got up to the area they'd selected, and they put up their tent and, you know, put their cots in and rolled out their sleeping bags, and they started a fire and made a real nice meal there over the fire. And got to be night, and they decided they'd turn in for the night, so they crawled in and went to bed. And middle of the night, the old grandpa woke up, and he looked up and he saw the array of the heavens above. He saw the stars and the beauty of it all, and he nudged the young man next to him and he says, "Do you see that up there?" And the young man looked up and he said, "Oh my." And he saw the beauty of it all. And the old man says, "Well, what does that mean to you?" And the young man didn't understand. He says, "No, think about it. What does that mean to you?" Young man thought for a minute and he said, "Well, astrologically, I see that the moon has already set and that and Venus is not up yet. So that tells me it's probably about 3:30 in the morning. Meteorologically, it tells me that, you know, it's a clear sky. There's no clouds. There's no wind. We're probably going to have another beautiful day tomorrow. And theologically, it makes me aware of the power and the presence of God just here." And they sat there quiet for a minute, and the young man says, "Grandpa, what does that tell you? What does it say to you?" The old man said, "Well, son, it tells me somebody took the tent." There's a difference between this intelligence and wisdom. Once again, Ernest Holmes wrote, "Right now, we are as much of this spiritual reality as we will ever be. Although we will be continually becoming more aware of it, we are all incarnations of God. God is what we are. God is not lost, neither can we ever be. We never need to prepare to meet our God. We are meeting Him every day. But what we do need to do, and what we will always be doing, is to express more and more of His nature through ourselves. This is the endless pathway. This is the immortal and eternal endeavor, the continual upward spiraling of our awareness of God as what we are. A greater knowledge, experience, and expression of God is always our goal, which may and must ever be more fully attained. We are expressions of God." Third point is, when we live in alignment with our spiritual truth, there is a congruence between what we say we believe and how we actually live. In the midst of challenges and difficult situations, we remember our innate wholeness and peace within. We know that love is always an appropriate response. We keep faith with the reality of spirit with us and within others. Coherence and congruence with our highest spiritual truth leads to less dissonance within and ultimately greater happiness. Once again, Ernest Holmes. When we learn to trust the universe, we will be happy, prosperous, and well. God is always God. No matter what our eternal storm or what our objective situation may be, there is always something hidden in the inner being that has never been violated. We may stumble, but always there is that eternal voice forever whispering within our ear. That thing which causes the eternal quest, that thing which forever sings and sings. Was a furnace technician from Alaska. His name was Lee. And for reasons you'll see in a minute, we leave it at that. It's a pseudonym. But Lee was very meticulous in his job. He paid a great deal of attention to detail. He was always, you know, very meticulous about all that he did in his work, and he was an excellent, excellent technician. So when, for reasons he had to move, he moved to Atlanta, he was hired by an HVAC firm, you know, right away. And wouldn't you know, he arrives in Atlanta, and the next, you know, week after he started his new job, they had the largest snow and ice storm in anybody's memory in Atlanta. There was snow and ice all over Atlanta, and the company he was working for restricted the calls that they would send their technicians out on to just the absolute emergencies. His assignment was to go to an address. It was 2002. And as he crept along down this street, he was thankful for all of his thoroughness and his experience in Alaska. He had two big buckets of sand, and he had two bags of kitty litter. Nobody in Atlanta knew what that was for. But as he crept down the street, he went by the 4,000s and then the 3,000s, and he got to the 2,000s. He looked up, and there was a mailbox, and it had snow on it, and it was I think that's that 002. This must be it. So we pulled into the driveway and went up and knocked on the door, and a young lady came to the door with a brand new baby in her arms. And she said, "Can I help you?" And he says, "Yes, I'm here to fix your furnace." And she said, "Oh, thank God, thank God. Please come in." And she's in there with her coat on and everything. He looked over, it was 27 degrees inside of this lady's house, and she's got this brand new baby. Well, he looked around at her furnace a little bit. It needed a new igniter and, you know, a couple other things, but it wasn't, you know, anything too difficult or thing that he couldn't fix pretty easily. And, you know, in 20 minutes or so, he had her furnace going again, and a warm air was pumping out, and she was just so grateful. And he looked down at his sheet, and, oh, this is under warranty. So no charge. And she said, "Oh, thank God." So he got out, and he saw that she hadn't been out to do her walks. He shoveled her walks, and he sprinkled some of his sand around. And just as he got to his truck, the radio squawked, and the guy on the radio says, "Say, you are making great time today, but this guy at 2002 wants to know when you're going to be there." And he thought, oh, and so he looked over at that mailbox, and he kind of went over and brushed that snow off, and he just repaired the furnace at 2882. So he said, "Tell the guy I'll be there in 5 minutes. "Oh, that's great." So he went into the guy at 2002, knocked on the door. The guy says, "Yeah, don't have any heat, and it's starting to get cold in here." And so he went over, and he looked, and it was just a simple matter that the guy had accidentally bumped the electrical switch next to the furnace, and had turned off the power to the furnace. So all he had to do was flip the switch and the warm air started coming out. So he got back in the car and he realized his mistake, and he knew that, you know, the company that he worked for would want him to go back and collect from the lady whose furnace he'd repaired. Okay, so he was going to be a good guy. He pulled into her driveway and he went up, and then she told him her story. Her husband had been deployed less than a month ago, and her baby was brand new. She had no money. She had no way to pay for any of it. And she was just so grateful, he decided. He made the decision in that moment. I'm already ahead of schedule. The boss is really pleased with me. I've done that all I can do. They're never going to miss that igniter off the, you know, parts van on the truck, he says. I just stopped by to check and make sure that your furnace was still going, and thank you. And the reason that I tell that story, it's a very true story, by the way. The reason that I tell that story is that both of those people were at that place when they're in alignment with their spiritual truth. She told him how she knew she was in trouble, and she knew that it was cold, and she was afraid she was not going to be able to keep her baby warm, and she just prayed. And she prayed for God to do something to help her. And she had just finished the prayer when there was the knock on the door, and he said, I'm here to fix your furnace. And that's why she said, oh, thank you, God. But you see, he was in that same alignment as well. He was coming from that place of alignment to be able to step into that and be able to help her. And that's what we're here for. I was going to save this for next week, but I'm going to tell this story now anyway. There's another farmer's story. This guy had won the corn growing contest at the state fair every year. And it had been like 10 years in a row, this guy had won the corn contest. And when the interviewer came up and interviewed him, he found that this guy had been giving his neighbors his best seed corn every year. And the interviewer said, how is that? You're giving your neighbors your best corn and they're competing with you. How do you keep winning? How can you do that? And he said, what you don't understand is that the pollen from my neighbor's corn blows over into my fields. And if they have inferior corn, it affects my corn and my ability to grow corn. The stronger my neighbor's corn is, the better mine becomes. And you see, that's what we're here for. That's that divine purpose. That's when we are using our strengths, when we're doing those things that make time disappear for us, when we're in that place where we're doing that which fulfills us, then we are giving our seed corn away. And it is making our lives richer. It's making us all stronger. It's making us all expressions of God to a higher and greater extent. Conclusion, the takeaway for today. We are all expressions of God. And our highest calling is to allow God to move through us. You, each and every one of you, are the divine ideal. So with this awareness of our own divinity, I ask my colleagues, the prayer practitioners,